Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this January 22nd, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our friend Ann Lee Peck from the ODC Opportunity Development Center. Love talking with them. Always a good conversation with Lance Pimmel. He's in with us today, Wood County Board Chairman. We want to send a shout out to, of course, to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them. Be sure to do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and keep up to the great work they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
Good, James. Thanks for the welcome. It's always great to be here and have this conversation.
Yeah, I appreciate the time with you, man. We're going to talk about a couple of things today. We'll get into the ATV-UTV ordinance from last night. We will talk a little bit about the Board of Supervisors meeting recently. But I wanted to start with what is going on with the Sierra Park. Being in this area for over 20 years and everything, I certainly have known that. I pass it every time I go to see my daughter at Point. And I've noticed, like many people, I think, over the years, that it doesn't seem as busy as it used to be. And it seems that things have changed over there. But I don't know how much it's common knowledge of the changes that have happened over there. And I feel like it's a huge headline to me, but I haven't talked to too many people that have heard much about what is going on, not only with that, but with our here in Wood County.
Yeah, Jane, it's a really big deal for us. You know, we constantly look at those recreational opportunities. How do we bring tourism into the area in a variety of ways? Because we see that as the quickest way to build the area, to increase revenues, and just to grow our population. You know, as people see the attributes that we have, we hope that maybe they decide to move here, open their business. But Sierra Park, many of you are familiar because Sierra, C-E-R-A, you know, was the Consolidated Employees recreation area. And it was extremely well used, well maintained for many, many years. But as Consolidated Papers and all of the subsequent ownership occurred, there was a lot of, you know, deferred maintenance and other things that just didn't happen. And the park was used some extent less. It was not maintained at the level it was way back. Mm-hmm. At one time, it was, you know, really a jewel of a park. So we were approached and said, you know, the whole purpose of this park and some of the FERC regulations, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commissions, are there has to be recreational use of these properties. And who better to provide that than probably the county and public access to this park other than just the employee group? So we were on board right away, and it was a really great deal, I think, for everybody, because the park will be improved. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there'll be public access. The cost of the county, other than the maintenance, you know, updating and stuff like that, was relatively zero. Mm-hmm. This is a two-year lease agreement to comply with the FERC regulations, and then ownership at that point transferred to the county. But we'll have the additional sites there, hopefully have some additional docks for boats. Mm-hmm. We have riverfront access, which takes some of the pressure off of the water facilities we have at Lake Wasicha. So, you know, I just think this is going to be a win-win for everybody. It will certainly spur economic development. It provides us with more campsites because as you travel around, you see Southwood County Park's full a lot of time, and then take some of the pressure off of a smaller lake like Wasicha and move some of that boat traffic up to the river. So we're really looking forward to this.
The opportunity is too good to pass up. It's one of those kind of situations, and it's such a smart investment too, as you've kind of laid out for us there. One of the things that I think is exciting about this is certainly all the things you mentioned, having more revenue opportunities for that and everything. It's one of the biggest topics in any rural community is how do you get more of an economic boom? How do you get more businesses? All of this. Here's something that I don't want to say it fell into our lap, but it kind of was just sitting right there, and the opportunity presented itself, and everybody was smart enough to jump on this, I think. One of the cool things to me about this, Lance, is I don't know that that area has been even, the surface has even been scratched on it. Like, I feel like there's so many things that over the months and years ahead, we may see, oh, there's another great opportunity for this, or here's something. It's the stuff that we haven't even thought of yet that I think is really exciting about this, just as much as the ownership change that's going on.
Yeah, you know, when we look at development of a park, even when we looked at expansion at Lake Wasicha and Southwood County Park, we're looking at multi-million dollar projects. I mean, we're talking like $4-8 million as we go forward and develop campsites. Well, there will be upgrades needed there, electrical and other, but it's there. And that opportunity to provide that also on that side of the river, you know, which is a great location as we have people coming in from that direction. But I touched on this a little bit last night. I happened to attend a Wisconsin Rapids City Council meeting. And there was a report from the Heart of Wisconsin, and they said the one thing that they noticed, it was at the top of their list, was lacking in our area right here, and I'm speaking specifically to Southwood County, was a lack of identity. Mm. And, you know, one of the boards I sit on is our North Central Tourism Board. Mm. And tourism is going to be the quickest way to revitalize an economy. And, you know, why have people put their, whether it's their boats, their trailers, their ATVs, UTVs on a trailer and go way up north when we have the ability to be that mecca right here in central Wisconsin? And this park plays into that perfectly because of all the opportunities. So not only to come to the park, and generally our camping revenues make those parks pretty revenue neutral. They're not necessarily profitable in and of themselves, but then those people spend money in our grocery stores, at our gas stations, you know, occasionally part of the other families at a hotel where we derive room tax. So, I mean, it's a tremendous boom to the area when we have those opportunities. And this came along at a very affordable price and at the right time.
It's something that they're working really hard on now to, of course, make it safe and make sure that everything is set and ready to go when it does open and we bring it to the community. Another thing that I thought was important coming out of the articles that I read about this was the idea that they want to improve it, but also keep the honor the history of the area. And I think that's unique, and that's great to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, this park has a long history, you know, and we're not looking at making, you know, big changes there. We're just looking, you know, right. We've had a really good head start this year on this project, probably because of the lack of winter sports activities yet, which hurts us economically in that respect. I mean, but our park crews that would normally be maybe up at Powers Bluff or doing some of the grooming at some of the other trails, cross-country ski and otherwise, have been able to really focus on that park out there. So some of the trees that needed to be cleared due to, you know, emerald ash borer or oak wilt or some of those, the, you know, those danger trees, they're being taken down. We have the opportunity to get out there and really do some planning. So we're going to get a jump on this. And our hope is that this park will open simultaneously to the other ones. And by May, you know, we're going to have this park open and ready to go.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll be covering that story for you and keeping you up to date on that and any other developments going on over there. But again, really just a congratulations to the area. This is a win for all of us.
Yeah, you know, our Parks Department works really hard on these kind of issues, these kind of missions. And the kind of funny part is, like I said, it will increase capacity. My wife said, that's a gorgeous park. We've never camped out there. We've been through it over the years. And she said, you know, can we get like a reserve site now? I said, you have to go through the regular reservation process, as does everybody. But I'm not exactly sure, you know, if we've brought that aspect online yet in mm-hmm. regard to that part, because I'm not sure exactly what sites we're going to have or how we're going to number those. Mm-hmm. But check our Wood County Parks, you know, the website. Yeah. All that information's online. And, you know, it's our goal, like I said, to have that up and running.
Looking forward to it. Lance, the other thing that I wanted to touch on, you've touched on this too, and really this all these two topics I think really bleed together in many ways. They both come down to wanting to bring more economy to our community and raise that profile for the community. And when it comes to that, it sounds like a win-win with the Sierra Park. And then there's the ATV-UTV ordinance. There's been a lot of conversation about this, maybe more than any other topic in this area in the last year and a half, if not longer. It's something that's been kind of stirring, I think, for a while and is starting to, I think, finally get to a right boil. Personally, I don't think that, I think that this is just a matter of time that this does happen, but we have to get it right. And something that Melissa and I were talking about heavily this morning when talking about this subject, I think is very important to take into the conversation. Wherever you fall on this one, I think you should be proud and happy to live in a community that thinks these things through, that works through these things, that talks them out, that figures it out together as a community, as a group. I think we can take a lot of pride in that. Living in an area where we talk these things through, we treat each other like adults, and we have good people making good decisions for everybody. That's politics. That's how these things work. I think we're very fortunate in this area to have the people that we do. I also know that we have some barkers out there. We have some people that like to bark, and I want to reach out to them and ask them to watch your tone, to act like an adult, that if you want to be heard, have you ever listened to somebody that talked down to you? Have you ever listened to somebody that barked at you and whined at you like a little kid? No, you tend to tune that stuff out. It's no different on the other side. You want to be heard. Act like an adult and treat our representatives that way. Treat our board members that way. I encourage you to do that. And I'm saying that because I want you to be heard. I want everybody to be heard. And the only way to get heard is to act like an adult in this day and age. That's how we are going forward. When you were at the meeting yesterday, what did you take away from it?
Well, the first thing I think I want to comment on is what you said. And one of the things I touched on is we are extremely lucky in our area to have conversations with our city leaders, with our town leaders, village leaders. You know, a week ago I sat down the village of Port Edwards and just had breakfast. And you know, we have these conversations, and you always want them to be civil because people don't realize where government, where those governmental lines end, where the borders are, or how they blend. So, you know, you try to be respectful of everybody. The ATV-UTV issue is a big issue, and, you know, came to the county and a number of years ago. We've been working on this for probably close to 10 years in the county, and we slowly opened areas of the county up. And what we found was the trouble that we anticipated might occur did not. And as they saw that, other areas said, you know, we probably should get on board with this because there is an economic picture to this. It even has to do with where people want to locate to live. You know, I've had people tell me they're gonna move out of a certain area and locate to another one just because they can get in and out with a recreational vehicle, for instance. I used some numbers last night. I'm not saying they're perfectly accurate because some of them are a little old, but the recreational vehicle industry in Wisconsin is about $11 billion industry, and about $4 billion of that, a little more than that, is in ATVs, UTVs. And it's more of that use is happening with ATVs and UTVs as opposed to a growth in snowmobiles because just weather has dictated that to some extent. Most of the county is now open to ATV, UTV traffic. But then at the same time, the city had a referendum. It was voted down to open everything. And I don't know that it's a, you know, from a county's perspective, we didn't open everything at once either. So I think there's some, you know, common sense and some thought that goes into this. I think the point that you made that I think at some point it's inevitable. And I think it's as vehicles change too, you know, some people's thought is, you know, the child you saw on the little ATV scrambler running up and down the street is not what we anticipate and not what we saw, for instance, in Grand Rapids or some of the other communities where you have people riding, you know, $20,000 to $50,000 UTVs, you know, with horns, turn signals, quieter than cars is big. And I think that inevitability happens because the demand will occur. But it's going to be incremental. You know, the original ATV, UTV resolution that went out to the city included the 12 to 15-year-old driver who had, you know, the DNR certification. Well, that's probably not going to be acceptable on roads in the city. Actually, if you're under 18, there's some other restrictions, like you have to have a helmet, some other stuff. So, you know, I'm not telling any governmental agency or entity that they should do anything, but, you know, I just hope that, like we did in the county, that you continue to look at it, you continue to get input, and you try to come up with solutions that hopefully work for everyone. Just saying no to anything. You know, if you ask me, should we build a, you want to build a jail? No, I don't want to build one. Do I need to build one? Yeah. And a lot of these issues are like that. Do I want to? Maybe, maybe not. But eventually you kind of see that if we're going to, you know, be with the times, if we're going to be a desirable place, if we are going to be that recreational mecca that we talk about, sometimes you have to adapt to some of those uses.
Getting the bill right, getting the ordinance right is key. Getting the wording right, every single syllable right. We're seeing this throughout the state right now when it comes to voter ID laws and wanting to get that correct and getting that specific and everything. It's going on around with a lot of things nowadays. In order to get these things in action, we got to get it right first. We got to do the hard work first and figuring that out. What's best for the community, what's safest for the community, and best for the economics of the community. There is a even ground here of just finding it. That's all it takes. And it takes adults to do that. It takes treating each other right to do that. And
I mean, you always fine-tune things. I was out in D.C., not this week, the prior week. And by the way, you know, the side story is really interesting. It's a trip that's planned a year ahead of time. It's not a trip. It's a conference. But yeah. Well, I guess it's a trip, too, because you have to go. But to be out there during a state funeral was a really impressive time to be in Washington. I mean, it's not very often or very many days in anybody's lifetime where you see the pomp and circumstance around the death of a president. So, you know, and you're standing there on the side of the street and you see a caisson rolling up with a horse-drawn carriage, the cab, it's pretty impressive. But while I'm out there, one of the things I have the opportunity to do is attend the George Washington Leadership Academy everywhere. And one of the things I take away from that and other things, and I don't make these sayings up. I wish I did.
Yeah, but great.
You know, one of the things that I take back that I try to do in government, it's doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. And that takes, like I said, it takes time. Yeah. You have to explain the process. And then at the end of the day, it has to take everybody's concerns into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the leadership in our city has done. I think I see that in our villages. And I'm hoping that that continues. And one of the things, I'll segue here for you real quick. We for the first time ever have a county boardroom, a dedicated county boardroom. We used it for the first time yesterday as part of that new, you know, Justice Center construction project. It will give us the opportunity to set days aside to meet with other governmental leaders from around the area and say, what's your problem today? What are you dealing with? How can we help? How can we coexist? And how do we make things better? And that's my goal always.
You mentioned the Board of Supervisors in the new room and everything. Congrats on that. That's awesome. What are some of the other highlights from the meeting yesterday?
Well, you know, first of all, it was really interesting. We get in this brand new room, which was not, I don't think it was ascertained that we're going to be in there till Monday. Oh. So we walk into a brand new room, which never seen the setup in, and you have all the new electronics and computers. And in fact, the microphones really nice. They're so sensitive in there that you actually can't turn them off. So you have to better be really careful what you say. And there's some in the ceiling. And I said, it's so sensitive. Not only can it hear any side talk, it could probably pick up what you're thinking. So be careful. But, you know, we have that dedicated room. There's a conference room to the side of that where we don't have to schedule around the different judges. We have not had a designated Wood County boardroom since the mid-80s, since Branch 3 came to fruition. And that became a courtroom. And there's occasional conflict on scheduling. But within that facility, other than, you know, the new jail, which provides better safety for our officers that are in there, better safety for the, you know, I don't want to call them prisoners, but the detainees, the guests. You know, if you're arrested for something, you haven't, you know, yet been charged and or convicted, you would anticipate that you are going to be in a safe environment. And this actually creates that. We have programming space for rehabilitation, education, and other programs. And it's a big facility, and a lot of the public has seen it. We had an open house there, ribbon cutting. What's interesting, even I got locked in there the other day. I walked in to check a setup on something. I don't know how to get out of here. So we're still working through something. They had to take the elevator down to the first floor and then walk out another exit, and I was hoping I wasn't setting off any alarms. But the opportunities for those who are incarcerated will abound for the county board and for us to have a better meeting space with the community. Fantastic.
It's really good to hear, too, especially because some of the logistics and the ways that this can not only free things up a little bit, but maybe make things move a little smoother, a little faster along the process.
And that couldn't have happened, like we talked about, without the cooperation of the city. I mean, the realization that, you know, we want to, you know, I want to see downtown Wisconsin Rapids thrive. Mm-hmm. And we've had tremendous changes there over the years. You know, we have, you know, the largest enamel coated paper company in the world is gone. And it's not going to come back. And so what else can we do? And the governmental buildings down there are pretty attractive buildings. And it puts another 400 or 500 employees downtown, you know, visiting those restaurants, coffee shops, retail outlets. So we strive to not only be part, you know, to exist there, but to be part of the community.
Lance, as we're wrapping up here, I did want to touch on one other thing, and that's something that you and I have touched on before, but I always like to bring it up, especially if we have the time. And it's about being a board member. And I don't know if I've asked you this before. We've been talking for years now, so I apologize if I've already asked this.
Probably couldn't have answered it anyway.
But what made you want to be on the board? What made you want to do this all those years ago?
You know, it's really interesting, and I think this is probably lends to the length of time I've been in office and some of those other things. I never had a grand desire to be politically involved anywhere, but I came out of, you know, private industry, and at the time I had, you know, those chambers saying, back then we were a paper town, mm-hmm. and everybody involved in government at some level tended to come from those industries. Yeah. And I had the chambers of small businessmen say, you know, you really need to run. We need a different perspective. And I thought, well, I can do my 2 years. And then I can get out of here. Somebody else can do theirs. And, you know, over time you become educated. And then I think the key to that is if you're willing to listen, you know, to cooperate, to collaborate, to compromise, that gets noticed. And, you know, I made a comment the other day, when I finish this term, I'll have been here 30 years. There was no anticipation. I have no desire to be a, you know, typically there's some climbing there. I don't want to be a state legislator. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to, you know, be elected at the federal level. I really want to serve my community like most of the people do in that job. Because let me tell you, you don't get paid. It really is community service. If you broke down the per diems and stuff, we make less than the minimum wage. Yeah. So there's nobody out there doing this for a living. Nobody's insured. It really is public service. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that becomes part of your being, I guess. And my goal always is to mentor and to try to convince the next generation get involved.
And that's part of why I bring it up. We want more people to get involved with this. We want more people to be on county boards or just, you know, a local nonprofit boards or anything. Just being a board member and encouraging people to do that more and more.
Yeah, and it takes thick skin to get out there in front of the public and get elected because you get skewered at times. But I can tell you this, if you're interested in serving in some way, I have, I'll call them committees, different commissions that I get to appoint people to that don't have to go through that election process where you can serve the community at a very high level. So if you're interested, my number's available on the website. Give me a call.
We'll get that out there before we wrap up. But to that point, Lance, one of the questions I had lined up for you was asking you, do you enjoy this? And I think that the audience and I can hear it in your voice. I'm sure there are hard days. There are days harder than others and everything. And you mentioned the pay and some of those things. I think we have our answer. You definitely have to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be involved. My wife has these conversations with me all the time. You know, you can run again if you promise not to cancel any more family vacations. But it does grow on you. And over time, if you pay attention, you do garner a vast amount of knowledge on a number of issues, departments, and what they're doing. But the day it isn't fun is the day I'm gone.
Lance, appreciate the time as always. Thank you for joining us. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more about some of what we talked about, how can they reach you?
Well, the easiest way, without me spewing a whole bunch of numbers and places, is go to the Wood County website. All my information is there. You'll find my email address, my phone number, all those ways to contact me.
And that is woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Appreciate the time again, Lance. Thanks for joining us. Okay. Looking forward to talking next month.
Thanks, James.
And a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here and recording. We appreciate the work they do here and recording our board meetings and all these other things. Find all of them at their webpage or subscription. Subscribe to their page at YouTube. Type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to the great work they are doing over there. We will have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.